Okay. It's in the book of Romans, please, and it's in chapter number 7. I'll start our reading at verse number 21. And the Lord will guide us here in this text. Let's read verse number 21 and verse number 22. The title is, I Delight in the Law of God. And he says from chapter 7 in verse number 21, I find then a law, a rule, that evil is present with me. Now, he is a believer. He is a child of God. He says so, the one who wills to do good. If I will to do good, then I have a new will that's been renewed by the Holy Spirit. And he emphasizes it in verse number 22. This is the Apostle Paul. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. This morning I was reading something on Facebook, and a believer who is very strong in the gospel, is he made the statement that in him dwells no good thing. It's all Christ. It's only Christ. But that's not true. I have the Holy Spirit. You can call that Christ. But I also have a new nature. And just because I have the flesh that is evil, and there is no good thing in the flesh, in my flesh, it does not mean that I do not have the Holy Spirit inside me, who has made me, made you, a new creation, so that we delight in God and we delight in the law of God. If you listen unto these words from the book of Psalms, Psalms number 40. Now, in regeneration, me and you are new creations, and we are made like Christ, according to Ephesians 4, verse number 24, verse 25, after the image of God. He created us again. In Adam, as we fell and sin became our master, but in regeneration, in the new birth, me and you become new creations that have God inside of us in the Holy Spirit, and we have God's character, God's nature formed inside of us, that we are partakers of the divine nature. That new birth, that new you, that is who you really are on the inside, is a new person that's like Christ. Is you have your same personality in so many ways, if not every way, but it's been renewed in every way. And so you can say the exact same thing that our Lord Jesus says here in Psalm number 40 in verse 8, I delight to do your will. I love God. I love to obey. I love my neighbor. I love to do the will of God. I love to honor him in all things. I love the pure heart. I love to preach my faith. I love to bring God glory. I love to honor him by loving people. I love to be kind and gracious. And to deny that, it doesn't help our cause. And it doesn't help young believers or those who are out of the way, because we can take upon ourselves an irresponsibility, an unbelief. It's we can say, well, all I am is a sinner. And I know some who have gone so far in their error that they have denied the new birth. They have denied regeneration. And what they say is that I'm flesh, I'm all flesh, and if the Holy Spirit comes and he makes me able to obey, that's not me, I'm just flesh. And so that they say that all they are is the flesh of the sinner, and they don't have the Holy Spirit operating on a new nature that is responsible and capable under God. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. I love you at the base of my being. Now, the difference maker in between men is the Holy Spirit. It isn't our natural talent. If you look in Acts 4, I was thinking about this morning with regards unto preachers and unto preaching. There is no difference in between me and you who preach with power and the next man on the street if the Holy Spirit came upon him with power. I was thinking about some people I was praying for. There's some men here that were with us with our medical mission who have been preaching and teaching the gospel, and they worked hard all week, and I see them growing in understanding. But if the Holy Spirit came upon me and came upon them in the same way, we would be the same kind of people. And if the Holy Spirit, if he came upon them more powerfully than he has come upon me, they would be my teacher and I'd be sitting at their feet for understanding. The Holy Spirit is the difference maker. It's not men. And so me and you are to pursue the power of the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. If we study, if we pray, if we fast, if we learn, if we go to school, if we don't go to school or unto the seminary, me and you are to be seeking the Holy Spirit in everything we do, in every aspect of ministry and life through prayer and faith. And the scripture says in Acts 4 and in verse number 13, our brother Peter is here preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost. And it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these men were bold preachers of the gospel, they feared no man, and they sought glory from no man. That's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2. We didn't seek your glory. We didn't seek praise. We didn't seek honor. We didn't seek to be patted on the back. And we did not seek applause. Our ministry, our gospel, was all about the glory of God. Our words and our motives, they were the same. It isn't that we're preaching Christ for ourselves. It isn't that me and you are saying that he is great, all the while trying to make ourselves great by saying he's great and how we say it. No, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And look what it says, and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. Ignorant and unlearned men, uneducated and untrained. The actual Greek word here means it is idiotes. It means idiot in our modern English. These fellas didn't attend any school. Peter and James and John, the very chief of the apostles up until Paul came along, these men went to no school and they got no education. They did not go unto the seminary, and they were not trained in the oratory and in the rhetoric of the Greeks. These men were not schooled in Athens or Rome or in Carthage, in all of the fine arts of eloquence. These men were ignorant and unlearned fishermen. These men were the gate men that you see at the hotel, or the cab driver, or you know, he has a small business, he sells orcadas. He's just an average, everyday worker. He's a nobody. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, Peter and John were transformed. And look what the scripture says. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's the difference maker. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that makes us able to obey God. But me and you are new creations. If we believe the blessed gospel, and the Holy Spirit does not work in a vacuum. He does not work on the flesh as far as renewing it and regenerating it and making it better. The flesh does not improve as long as we're on this earth, in this planet. The flesh is subdued by the Holy Spirit as he works and operates in the new man, in the inner man. He renews us. He gives us strength. He gives us power to sit down and put down this flesh. And that's what this text is talking about in Romans 7, and then as we get into Romans 8. Let's go back there, verse number 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Inside of me and you is a person who loves God. Even when we sin, is we have to come to grips with this reality. It's we cannot do ourselves good by denying the gospel. Is we cannot do anybody else good by minimizing the gospel. Is we have to stand boldly in our privileges in Christ, in the face of and in the teeth of our sins, or we will despair and we will go into hypocrisy, or we will quit. When I look at all of my sinful shame, I've got to be able to bring that unto God and say, there's no condemnation in Christ. I'm a new creation, and the Holy Spirit, he will help me, and I'm going to subdue this flesh by his power. It's not something I'm going to do myself, but he is going to act upon me with power, and I'm going to do the will of God even better. I plan to start preaching through the book of Judges, and the reason that I want to go into that text of scripture is because we keep seeing the Spirit came upon Samson. The Spirit came upon this person. The Spirit is he came upon this prophet. The Spirit he came upon this man, and he judged Israel. The Spirit of God is the difference maker. I don't want to have any strength in myself, because I do not. But I do delight in the law of God after the inward man. A problem is if we think that because I love God, I delight in God, that I can do it. I want to do the will of God, so let me do this myself. That is going to end in failure, because that dishonors God. It does not glorify God. The Almighty God is glorified as he's leaned upon. If you see the difference in between Peter and James and John after Pentecost, Pentecost had to happen. And the Lord Jesus said, you stay here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then you shall go out and be my witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. After the power of the Holy Spirit comes, that's how the book of Acts opens. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They were new creations. And they knew God. And the Holy Spirit had been breathed upon them in a certain way. And so that they had knowledge and they had understanding, but they did not yet have power until Pentecost to go out and preach the gospel. And when they did, they changed and became men and women that were bold for the gospel, even unto death. That text that we read in Acts 4, it says that Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, he spoke. And so it isn't us in our strength. It's us as we realize all of the privileges that we have, including the Holy Spirit, that the sufferings of Christ have come to give us the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life, to live godly. That this is what God's sons suffered for, to give us the riches of the inheritance, which includes primarily the Holy Spirit in this life and a new nature and the ability to see Christ and the blessings of heaven unto come, access unto God our Father, and all the unsearchable riches of the kingdom in redemption, in forgiveness, in regeneration, in adoption, in being elected, in being predestined, in being blameless, in being redeemed one day from this cursed earth to be with God forever, and having the security of the eternal inheritance, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. That's the gospel, that he paid for our blessings, and the blessings are full. They're just so full and rich and forever. Oh, what a blessing that me and you have in the gospel. Me and you, we have everything. Everything. Because he died to give it unto us. And that is actually as to what you can read in Ephesians 1. Let me start at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It isn't money, it isn't health, it's every spiritual blessing. He may include money and health, he may take those away. We bless God for our benefits. We bless God to be able to do this medical mission, but the blessings are spiritual. We have to have our eyes and minds on the spiritual things in the heavenly places. In Christ, he paid for them. Just as he chose us, that's a blessing, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's right now, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ through the sufferings of the cross unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's the giving of God. That's the generosity of God, by which he made us highly favored in the beloved. And it goes on and on. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has abounded toward us. He taught us the blessed gospel. He put the Spirit in the heart. He taught us the truth. We're born again. We're kept until the last day. Me and you have everything if we are in Christ. And included is this new nature. I delight in the law of God. I delight in the will of God. I delight in loving people. I delight in being good unto people, unto my fellow man. I delight in being gracious, in being like God. Being like God. That's what he's made us. Like God. Like God. you shall be like God is the devil's word in the beginning, as he caused us to sin. But we found out that sin doesn't make us like God. It makes us like the devil. You are of your father the devil, Christ said unto those people in John 8, because the works of your father you will do. Not like Abraham. He believed and he rejoiced and he loved and he did the will of God. But in regeneration, in the new birth, as we heard the gospel, as we believe the gospel, you and I became like God Almighty himself, because he formed his nature in us. A new creation, a partaker of the divine nature. He has stamped God upon you in your heart. And that's why you love the law of God. And he's not talking about the law of Moses in the Sabbath, in the feast days, in the tithe. He's talking about the essence of the law. And what the law was always saying, that you shall love God. And we do that by faith. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we do that by actual acts of love and kindness and of generosity. Our heart goes out unto people. Preaching is more than about preaching. Preaching is love, or it's not preaching God in the power of God's Spirit. It's not selfish. It's not for self-glory. It's not for vanity. As I was preaching, it was unto the preachers yesterday morning. It was a crowd of the people there, and I'm so disappointed by how little they understand of the gospel. As we bring them in for counseling, Sister Daisy will ask them, what did you hear? And there are so few of them who actually heard anything, who actually listened with a way of understanding. But I am thankful that we have an opportunity to counsel them individually and to tell them the gospel again and again. All day we have people coming unto us in small groups, and we're preaching unto them the gospel of Christ and hoping that they get and are given an understanding. But Paul says this in Ephesians 5, verse number 1 and 2. Therefore be imitators of God, act like God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us. How can we do this? Well, he's given us a new nature, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. Let's go back into Romans 7. So what does it mean to delight in the law of God? Is to love people. Is to be sincere. Is to be pure in heart, is to have no motives after selfish glory in ministry. Now, if you want to be a great architect, truly, 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 our only motive is to give glory unto God in this life. It's not to be a great parent, it's not to be a great employer, it's not to be a great servant, it's not to be a great boss. It's not to be a great anything. It's to bring glory unto God. And if that is our motive, if that is what we're doing, if that is what we're aiming at, if that's what we're doing, then we shall be great as we can be in whatever area of life that we are pursuing. If I'm a father and my only ambition is to glorify God, he's going to guide me. And he is going to teach me how to raise my children unto his glory instead of my own. If we are self-seeking, then we are not after the glory of God. That's a painful statement and a true one. And I delight in it. And so do you. If we know God, we love God, and we love God's glory, and we want him having all of it, all of it. It's the book of Matthew in chapter number 20 is an illustration that delights my soul. I'm learning it. The apostles, well, the disciples, as they haven't been sent out yet, they're still disciples now, I believe. They're arguing over who should be the greatest. It's in Matthew 20, verse number 24. And when the 10 heard it, they heard that the 2, if these men are no longer self-seeking in the book of Acts, they are no longer self-seeking as they write their epistles under the power of the Holy Ghost, but they were self-seeking in the gospel until the Holy Spirit came upon them after the resurrection of Christ. And James and John, through their mother, are asking to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And the mama said, let my sons, let my boys, I don't care about anybody else. That's the selfishness of our nature. Make my boys on your right hand and on your left. That's not an attitude of the kingdom. And the patience and kindness of Christ. What made Christ so patient? He wasn't seeking greatness. If he was, he'd be angry just like these 10. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Why are you trying to be great? I'm the great one. Don't you recognize my greatness? You offend me. You don't use me. You don't talk to me. You don't praise me. You don't brag about me. You don't lift me up. You don't see my greatness and how great I am and how much better I am than all of you and how I can teach you. That's the attitude of the flesh. It's the attitude of the flesh. Christ did not have that anger at their greatness pursuing flesh. And that's all it is. The idolatry of the flesh is the idolatry of self. He did not have any anger at them in their pursuit of greatness because he was not pursuing greatness himself. And therefore, his attitude, it was to minister, it was to humble himself, it was to help them because he was all about the glory of God and the helping of other people. He was not about himself at all. He's the most selfless human being that has ever lived. That's Christ. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the infinite God manifested in the flesh, is the greatest, most selfless human being that has ever lived, and therefore, he's the greatest in the kingdom, and therefore, God has highly exalted him. And if we serve God unto God's glory, he will take care of us. He will exalt us himself. Now, it may be in the resurrection after I'm dead, after I've been stoned to death, or after I've been killed, or I've been blown up, or I've been kidnapped and slaughtered. I don't know what God has in store in the future, but I know this much. If we give God glory from our heart, and that's our only ambition, we can't lose in this life. And it isn't even as if I'm serving for a reward. I'm serving, and I know that a reward is coming for actually glorifying him because he is a rewarder. But my motive is his glory more than my reward. I know my reward is coming. You can't separate the two. But my attention is on the love of God and on love towards his people. And I know that he will take care of me. And so I do serve him in the knowledge he's going to resurrect me. He's going to reward me. He's going to pay me back. He's not going to let me down. He will give me the joy, the pleasure of service. He will give us his spirit, but our attitude and mind is for his glory. It's not for ourselves. It's not for ourselves. I remember the story I heard as a boy, that everybody in heaven has arms without elbows. Their arms are straight. And everybody in hell has arms without elbows, and their arms are straight. And everybody in hell is hungry because they're trying to feed themselves. And everybody in heaven is full because they're feeding each other. It's a good illustration. It's not an actual statement of any substance, but it's an illustration of selfishness and of generosity. And if our heart is pure and we love the glory of the blessed God, then we are going to be taken care of. It may be in riches. It may be in health. It may be in death. It may be in persecution. But we would rather give God glory. I would rather give God glory than anything in my life. I have no ambition. Me and you have no ambition in our new heart. If we really knew ourselves in this new heart, in this new nature, we have no ambition but the glory of God. That's a beautiful thing. That's how God made us in regeneration. And we come to realize it as we understand the blessed gospel, as we're taught by the Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are opened unto us. As the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I want to be with people who preach from a pure heart. I don't want any selfish motives. Any selfish motives around our ministry. I want us purified from all self-serving until we're only giving glory unto God, until we're only seeking the glory of God. And then there will be peace amongst ourselves if we're not seeking the praise of men. It's a burden. It's a burden. I told somebody this morning that you can't change who you are as your personality. You can only be a better you, and you can only be the best you possible. But if you're silly, if you're goofy, these things mature, but that's part of your nature. That's part of your personality. That's part of the fun of being you. And you cannot be dreary like somebody else. If you are a German, you might not be able to be and act like a Nigerian. It's your natures are different. It's you're built differently. It's you enjoy different kinds of music. And it's some overlap in there, of course, but you got to be you and the best you possible. You can't act phony. You can't be seeking the approval of men. That's just bondage. Freedom is seeking the glory of Christ and loving people and not caring about myself and God taking care of us with joy and peace. That's freedom. That's freedom. This pure heart, how can we get it? How can we get it? You have to be born again. These pure motives, how can we grow? We bring our sins unto him. We bring our sins unto him. this will be my last point. Let me read up in Romans 7 in verse number 23 to chapter 8, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says, but I see another law in my members. I got this filthy flesh. It's warring against the law of my mind. It's bringing me into captivity. I sin more than I want to. I sin more every day. I've got to confess my sins every day. Oh, my thoughts are such foolishness. And I got to bring them into captivity, but they're bringing me into captivity. And it's captivity unto the law of sin, which is in my members, this flesh. I can't escape. I understand what that believer means by in my flesh dwells no good thing. I understand and I feel it too, and every believer does. This flesh, it never changes. And I hate the doctrine of an improving flesh. It's such a lie. But I love the strengthening of the new man. And that's what God will show us as we get into chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. But look what he says, verse number 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Do you feel yourself that way? If you don't feel yourself that way, you are in trouble. Oh, Christian, I know you feel yourself that way. I know you know yourself to be a sinner and to be chief. I was talking with some people in the counseling section, and here in Africa, in Nigeria, there are these chiefs in the villages. And I want to know, what do they do for the people, or do the people only serve them? I don't know, but I assume that they help in the rulership and in the governing and in the making of decisions. And we need leaders. But I said, like Paul said, I'm the chief too. I'm the chief of sinners. And I asked him, are they chiefs? And a couple of them said, I'm a chief too. But I'm a chief of sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, this flesh? I need victory over it. I'm crying out. Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I'm in a warfare until I die. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I love God. You can't change my new nature. It does not sin. But with the flesh, I love sin. I serve sin. I'm a slave of sin. And I'm in combat in between these two natures, and they're inside of me in one body. I'm at war. I'm at war if I'm in a prison. I'm at war if I'm on a deserted island. I'm at war if I don't have any internet, if there aren't anybody around me. I'm the only person. I'm within 100 miles. I am at war with myself at all times. The only difference is the Holy Spirit puts it down, or I sin and I'm in the flesh because I'm not trusting God. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Who's going to deliver me? He thanked God through Jesus Christ. And here's what he said in chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. I will read this, and then I'll be finished. I appreciate your patience. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The first step, this is important, don't miss this. This is life-changing. The first step to overcoming our sin is what? What's the first step? Anybody know? What's the first step? It's in the text. I'm forgiven. There's no condemnation. You and I cannot overcome sin ourselves. We're helpless. So I have to go unto God repeatedly as a sinner and trust him that what Christ did on the cross is sufficient. I'm forgiven. I'm not condemned. I'm accepted in God's sight. And therefore, he will help me. And that's where the spirit comes. That is where the spirit comes from. From the throne of no condemnation, from the throne of grace, he comes down and works inside of our hearts. Verse 2, for the law, this is another rule that can't be broken, like the law of the Medes and Persians. It can't be broken. The law of the spirit of life, where? In Christ Jesus. Eyes on Christ, no condemnation, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow the sufferings of Christ and what he purchased, what he died to give us is the gospel. Let me repeat that. What he died to give us is the gospel. And the one who died to give it, our Lord Jesus Christ, precious Christ, most wonderful being in the universe, is our Christ, and he is God's. He is God's, and he is God. Oh, wonderful Christ. Bless God for Christ. Thank God for Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ. Preachers, keep pointing them to Christ. Feed the church of God. Shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That means we're safe. That means that we're redeemed. That means that he will help us. And if the blood of Christ, if that won't help me, I have no acceptance with God any other way, and I can't help myself. It's over. But if I'm trusting Christ, even though I have all my sins, and I have more sins than I can admit or be aware of, if I'm trusting Christ, even though I have all my sins, he will help me because our sins are forgiven. That is the essence of the gospel. You take that out of our preaching, and we have nothing. And we cannot, there's no hope for our people. There's no gospel if God's not reconciled unto us completely and fully and freely giving us everything in grace. If I'm a pornographer, I come unto God, I get grace. I get grace. I get grace. If I get grace. If I'm the holiest man on the earth, I come unto God, I get grace because of Jesus Christ. Keep that in the forefront of your people. Or don't preach if you're going to preach something else. Preach Christ unto these people in their sins. Don't smite that rock. Speak unto that rock. And God will pour out the water freely because he's gracious. We're not going to earn anything from God. Oh my. But the law of the spirit of life, the rule of God, that the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul was saying, I'm in bondage. I've been taken captivity. I hate what I am. Oh, wretched man I am. Who's going to deliver me? And God says, I'll send God for Christ's sake. That's the Holy Spirit. He is God manifesting himself in our flesh, in our body. He's working on that new nature to strengthen us like Samson and give us supernatural power. Oh, the hope of the gospel. Oh, the joy of the gospel. I can subdue my flesh through God. I can love through God. I can be who I am through God. I can delight in doing the things of God through God. I can be strengthened through God. I'm already holy. I just need to strengthen the help. And that's the Holy Spirit. And it's the law of the Spirit that he has more power over our flesh than our flesh has over us. What hope. What hope. We can change and we can be cleansed. What hope. We can bring him our sins. Oh, what hope. I was talking to one of the saints this morning, our sister Daisy, and her face was refreshed. Her spirit was up. She's in submission. She's in service. She's happy in the gospel. I know that she spent some time with God confessing her sins and being cleansed. And she said, the Spirit will help us. Oh, yes, He will. Oh, yes, He will. Verse number 3 and 4, and I'm done. For what the law, that's the law of Moses, that's the Ten Commandments, the shouts and shout nots, could not do. It couldn't make us accept the will of God. It couldn't make us righteous. You shall love the Lord your God. Can't make me righteous. You shall love the is your neighbor as yourself. Can't make me acceptable. Can't make us righteous in the sight of God because we can't do it. It was weak through the flesh. It had to punish us. It couldn't bless us. But God did. God made us acceptable with God by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a man on account of sin as a sin offering. He condemned sin in the flesh. He paid for our sins in Christ Jesus, in the man Christ Jesus. He suffered and died so that we could become acceptable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That, here's the purpose. Now, God had to be just to justify. He had to be righteous to declare us righteous by faith in His Son's blood. He can forgive us. He doesn't have to condemn us. He can set us free. He can accept us because Christ paid for our sins, and therefore He can justify us by faith and say that you're righteous in my sight. How so? I don't have any sin to pay for. It's been paid in full. That's the justice and the wisdom of God that's in the gospel. But He has included our blessings of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, so that the righteous requirement, some versions say, the righteousness, the righteous requirement of the law. He's not talking about imputation. He's talking about the impartation of the power of the Holy Spirit on a new nature to convince us of God's love and enable us to love as a result. He enables us to do it. Might be fulfilled in us, not for us. And you can look it up in the Greek. It's in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. He works in us to make us love. Who? Who? The person whose eyes are on Christ. The person who's trusting the Spirit's power through Christ. The person who believes. There is no condemnation, and so the Spirit of God is going to help me. Now the Lord be gracious unto us and make His peace shine upon us and give us strength to do His will, which is to love people, which we delight to do anyway. And the Lord bless you, Brother George, and the other believers here that are listening unto the gospel. And you saints, pray for those who don't know the gospel, who are hearing this message, that their eyes might be open unto the truth. And you sinners, if you are here listening, and I hope that you are, trust Christ. Because this is for you. Salvation is free. Amen. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, including a holy life that loves people and loves God. Amen. The Lord bless you. I'll talk to you again, I hope Lord willing, next week. You pray for me, and I'll try to pray for you. Amen.